Can I just enjoy some Naughty by Nature for a second, George? Is that too much to ask at 10:56 on a Tuesday?
Do
Are
as
you a
you
Naughty
please.
By Nature guy?
Yeah, of course, man.
Okay, I was about to, with one day left, I was going to fire you, George. That's what I was gonna cut ties with you, you know.
As you can tell, I'm going through it back here, pressing wrong buttons and stuff. Jesus,
I love it. Well, we are live at Warner Park. It is always fun to get out and be amongst the people, George. That's what it is. I am inside the gift shop. So what's great is. And I think I saw there was some little there's like a some sort of daycare or summer school. So at some point I got to imagine kids will be walking in here. And last time I was here I had just seen Secret Life of Pets 2, and I was really fired up about that. And I didn't want to give any spoilers. Maybe I'll go Toy Story 4 on some of the youngins and see what their reactions are.
No spoilers though.
No spoilers on Toy Story 4.
It's a shame Lion King hasn't come out yet.
When it, that's this week?
This week, yeah.
Oh, man.
Trust me, I'm all over it.
I mean, the star-studded cast of that thing?
Dude.
Unbelievable.
Queen
in terms of the voice.
Donald Glover,
yes.
James Earl Jones is back.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's, I can't wait.
Is it, stupid question, is it like the exact same, everything's the exact same,
I think,
right?
It's basically a shot-for-shot remake.
That's fine.
I mean, the original is one of my favorite movies of all time, so I wouldn't want him to take too many liberties anyway.
What was I listening? It might have been the Keegan-Michael Key, I think, is in. Are they both? Are Key and Peele both in it? Or just
that's a good question.
Maybe just one of them.
Keegan-Michael Key is one of. Is he one of the hyenas?
Yes,
I think.
And
Seth Rogen's Pumbaa.
Yes,
Billy
yes. Timon. He's one of the hyenas. And yeah. I was listening to an interview with him. It might have been on, like, Fallon or something like that. And he said, like, the special effects or whatever of these animals, it's nuts. Like, it is as if you're watching the Discovery Channel,
and
but yet it's they're talking.
And yeah.
I mean, because I just can't wait to see, you know, like Hakuna Matata and all that. Like, is this going to be great?
I know.
It's going to be.
Did you see the Jungle Book one?
Yes. That one was
that
like.
One, like, I have no attachment to the Jungle Book whatsoever.
No.
But visually.
It's crazy.
It was awesome. And I'm assuming it's going to be a lot like
that.
Did
you see Aladdin?
I have not. No.
I've actually heard decent things about that.
Yeah.
And I was real. That was one that I was like, ooh.
The Will Smith thing. I love Will Smith. But
yeah. I just.
It looked very weird, I'll admit.
If there's anybody that I feel like can tackle the bar that was set from Robin Williams, and like no one, because Robin Williams pretty much is like he has the perfect personality to be the genie.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's anybody that can do it, like not just murder the character,
yeah.
Will Smith can do it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there was a bunch of blowback when, like, those first few pictures came out of him in all blue. And
right.
Like, what the hell is this? And then ever since the movie came out, it kind of dumbed down. People probably saw him like, okay, yeah, he was good.
It's crazy, though, how much, like, movies come and go, and you know about them. And even if they're, like, killing, you don't necessarily, like, hear a ton about
it's
them.
It's like we were talking about off air. There's just so much to consume.
So you might
go see a movie. You love Secret Life of Pets, too.
Yes.
You loved it. 3 days later, you were totally into something on Netflix.
You turn the page so fast now. No. It's pretty rare that a movie can really like infiltrate pop culture for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That still is the one thing you got to hand Game of Thrones, because I know we're talking about TV, but like it was probably would you say it might be the last bit of TV or movies to me that has like held pop culture captive for a long time?
Plus, it was essentially un-DVR-able,
right?
In an age like this, because
right.
you had to see it when it happened or within
it
an
was
hour.
Once a week. It was
if you're on social media, at
no
all,
question.
It was spoiled.
No question.
Everyone set their clocks and got in front of the TV when it was on.
Yes.
There might not be another show like that.
See, and I wonder if, because you and I are big Stranger Things fans, mm-hmm. I wonder if you did Stranger Things, structured it like Thrones, every Sunday, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock, whatever it is, if it would have the same, like, because I can understand why Thrones has more mass appeal. I like Stranger Things more than Thrones.
I would agree.
But I do wonder if it could have a similar hold It won't have the Thrones hold,
no,
but a similar hold on pop culture.
I thought about that as well when I was watching it. If I mean, Stranger Things is a big deal. Like
it,
you said, it's not quite
is.
Game of Thrones, but it's up there in the top five at least of,
yes,
of when it comes out, the world kind of stops and everyone talks
no
about
question.
It. It's Burger King has all their stuff.
Yeah.
Retro.
Right.
I mean, it is a big deal. And I thought about that towards the end. I was like, I just blew through this in like 3 or 4 days, and I'm going to talk about it. We talked about it,
yeah,
a few days after I was done. But if they would have done these 8 episodes over 2 months, once a week, which is possible, Netflix, I mean, Hulu does it with Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
They don't just release the whole thing. It's
right.
week by week, and you go in and you watch it that week. I feel like it would have a lot bigger staying
totally.
Power. Now, I don't know. Personally, I might be mad if they decide to do that next season. I'd be like, it's a
I know.
Very easily bingeable show.
Yes.
I mean, I flew through that thing. But the way they do cliffhangers, it would keep people absolutely engaged for a much longer time, and I'm surprised that they haven't tried something like that with a show like that.
Do you base how good a show is on whether or not you want to binge it? Meaning, like, that was always one of the things about Thrones at times. In an odd way, one episode a week was kind of enough for me.
Thrones is such a different show, too, because there was so much going on.
Yeah.
In that hour that you're watching that show, you took
there were,
in
yeah.
so much information.
That's true.
That was probably equal to a movie.
There's like
two.
One, there might be a bunch of little storylines, but it's all in Stranger Things, but it still is one congruent.
One goal, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And but
I don't necessarily.
Because that's a bad way to probably judge a show.
But I do admit, when there's a new show I've just found on Netflix, or maybe an old one that I just found, and
right.
When I get it, I'm at work or I'm somewhere, I'm out having fun with friends, I'm thinking to myself,
I can't wait
to get home and watch that stuff.
Listen,
Sunday, and I'm going to do nothing,
just
sit on the couch.
Kim and I would not have won Parent of the Year Award with how we binge a show. I mean, we were like, Mava, do you want to go in the other room and watch every movie ever?
So, it's only 5:30, but are you ready for bed?
So we would like, she watched 2 movies one day. Now, in our defense, we had done like 2 straight, like, big outdoor days of 4th of July, so
yeah.
Maven need it. Sometimes with kids, you need to, like, force them, like,
yeah.
dude, relax
Chill
for
out.
A day.
Yeah.
But, and then we stayed up way too late a bunch of different nights. It was all, like, we were committing all the sins of
yeah.
what you're not supposed to do parenting, so we could watch Stranger Things.
But I get it, man.
It was, man, that show. You know what I'm looking forward to the most about today's show, and this is not a way to tease today's show. The breaks, so I could talk Stranger Things with you, Susan. that's what I want. I've been searching for, because, like, you can only have so many conversations with your wife before you've just, like, hashed out everything.
Yeah.
Like, at one point the other day, she was like, enough.
I get
like,
it.
I was like,
yeah.
so hold on, way back to 11. Do you? And she's like, enough. I'm like, dang it. Okay. So I need you today.
Got it. I'm not going anywhere.
You're
going
to be my, you're going to be my TV partner today, okay? We got a bunch of good stuff today. Danny Woodhead, Andy Kendi, Robin Washett, and Marty Cordero. That's all on the show today. I got a handful of Nebraska football things I want to dive into. I was looking at, and I mentioned this to Gary and Damon yesterday. But it is startling when you say it out loud, you read it, and you think about it. When you see the discrepancy in one specific stat between the top team in college football and Nebraska, it kind of puts things into perspective, especially when that stat is important to how Nebraska wants to play. And it's oftentimes an indication of – really how powerful and disruptive you can be. And that is sacks. So Nebraska had 25 sacks on the season last year. Take a guess how many Clemson had on the year. 54. Now I want you to really let that sink in. 54 sacks compared to 25 sacks. And sure, Are there ways to, I don't want to say pad that stat, but like, let's be honest, there are some teams that are more aggressive, right? Like they blitz more, they try to get home. It's more of a point of emphasis, a goal for some defenses to get to the quarterback, right? More so than some others. But at the end of the day, on a lot of pass plays, you know what every coach would love to see defensively is a sack. You know, it's not like a coach can be like, oh, a sack? Come on, guys. Yeah, like, ultimately, almost every single system, every single defensive coordinator, every single coach, what they would like to see when the quarterback, the opposing quarterback's in the pocket, pressure on him, sack him, right? So, while sacks isn't necessarily like a rushing number, because there are some teams, you know, like Washington State or Texas Tech's rushing total is going to be a lot different than Army or Navy or Iowa or Wisconsin's rushing total based on how they're built. But sacks is a little bit different. Everybody's trying to get to the quarterback the majority of the time. And when you think about where does Nebraska need a lot of work? Where do they still need to, where are they most different from some of these top teams? And I still think you can go right to really the trenches, but in particular the defensive line. It's one of the reasons that I do tread my feet a little bit when I think about projecting Nebraska football this year and reading all the prognostications, whether it's Phil Steele saying Nebraska's, you know, they're going to win the West, they're going to go to the Rose Bowl and all that stuff, is at the end of the day, the teams that win divisions in power conferences, play for conference championships, play in Rose Bowls and big bowl games, the one common thread, sure, they usually got good quarterbacks. Sure, they usually got good coaches. But you know what they usually also have? Enormously disruptive, big-time defensive line talent. People get tired of hearing about SEC bias and the SEC versus the one thing that I still will say, it jumps out at me whenever I do turn, I'm flipping through and I'm watching a Big 12 game, and then I'm watching an ACC game, then I'm watching a Pac-12 game, and then I'm watching a Big 10 game, and then you turn on an SEC game. And the one thing that usually does pop is the defensive lineman talent across the board seems dramatic. But when you think about those top teams, Ohio State, Bama, Clemson, like the one thing they almost all have in common is they have some big-time disruptive dudes on that defensive line. And so when you try to quantify the difference or the discrepancy in Nebraska and some of these other elite top-shelf teams, the teams that are playing in the college football playoff and winning championships, you look at the defensive line and you look at that stat of sacks. Again, Nebraska, 25 sacks last year, Clemson 54. That isn't a small amount. That is two teams played pretty much the exact same amount of games, and one team had double the amount of sacks. Double. And by the way, that is also, think about this. Would you classify Eric Chenander as an aggressive defensive coordinator that likes to bring pressure, or a guy that wants to mush rush and keep everything in front? Oh, he's an aggressive, foot on the gas, let's bring the heat kind of a defensive coordinator. So it ain't like it was for lack of attempts. You know, like the amount of times Nebraska brings plus pressure and dials up blitzes and wants to heat up the quarterback and wants to get after the opposition and be disruptive is pronounced. I mean, Eric Chenander is a coach that is not shy about bringing it. So it's not like, well, what are they being asked to do? Well, they're being asked to get after the quarterbacks, you know what. So for Nebraska to ultimately achieve all of the things that a lot of the outside world, the outside media, are setting Nebraska to achieve this season, that sack number needs to increase. And ultimately, if they want to hang another banner, they got to be having some big old hosses on that D-line start to emerge. But again, you think about, I mean, when I don't think it's any coincidence that I would say the best Nebraska football teams of the last decade are 2009, 2010, and probably 2014, Amir's senior year. I mean, I don't think that's too hot of a take, right? Like, I would say three best teams past 10 years. I'd say those three are the top ones. Do you think it's any coincidence that those 3 years happen to also be the three best defensive line years? Obviously, 2009, you had Sue. 2010, you had Jared Crick. 2014, you had Randy Gregory. Like, in order to hang and in order to flourish with these elite teams, you got to have some bad, bad boys in the trenches. And reading that stat and really thinking about that stat really, really stood out to me. 402-951-1620. Okay, so gave you the lineup. We got Danny Woodhead. We got Marty Cordero. We got Robin Washington. We got Andy Kinney. Daily lineup brought to you by Action Batteries. We're live here from Werner Park. Nick Baugh with you. You can email me, nick@1620zone.com. You can hit me on Twitter, @NickBaugh. Rocking and rolling on a Tuesday.